God so loved the world that he gave the most blessed thing that heaven has ever known, the Son of God. And he so loved the world that he gave that Son. Chapter 10, reading in the first verse. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive ye not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see these things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. All right. You see how shrewd the Lord was? This man that was so cunning said, you tell me that I should help someone that's my neighbor. So now you tell me who my neighbor is. That is, he was trying to get out of helping his neighbor. But Jesus reversed the whole thing by giving a little parable and told about a good Samaritan that went by and helped a man. So went by and he helped the man. And then when he finished his little parabolic speech, he says, now you go do likewise. That was shrewd, wasn't it? That was shrewd. The man was waiting for him to point out who he should help. And he just reversed it and said, you just go do like the Good Samaritan done. You go be like the Good Samaritan. That's a good neighbor right there. So I always thought that was real shrewd of Jesus. Here, he says to Martha, Martha's wanting a little help to do the work. Now, here is a good thing. I'm fixing to say something that will really comfort you lazy folks if you take this just right. It says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Somebody said, now, at last I got that thing straight. You know, I was wondering what I could do to get out of work, you know, and spend all of my time around here in Bethlehem. Well, I gave you the answer right there. It's very plain. It tells you how to get out of all of your work. All you got to do is go into fasting and praying and solitude and sit at the feet of Jesus and to let the others do the work. Let's give the Lord a hand. So it looked like that there's no in between for them that wants to quit their job and come and hang around Bethlehem and ride and eat and drink and talk and visit. You either have to be out there and doing what Mary's doing is to get some food for Jesus, or you need to go into solitude, fasting and praying and shut yourself away and stay right at his feet and not be visiting with folks and talking and fellowship. And that way you will have chose the better part, that part that will not be taken away from you. You love the Lord?
Amen.
It's real plain, isn't it? All right, so we see here that there is a job that can be done, and this job is that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And to do this, we have to do like Mary. We have to sit at the feet of Jesus, and we have to draw nigh unto this wonderful thing. And then when we are filled with the power of God and we're filled with the kingdom of God, then we can resist the devil, and the devil, he'll flee from us. And it says here, Jesus said, now you go preach the gospel. And he said, don't worry about the purse and don't worry about the script and don't worry about the shoes. He said, you just go preach the gospel. So when you go preach the gospel, he said, I'll take care of the need. You go preach the gospel. And then he said, now when you go into a city, you enter into that city and you find out who is worthy there. And the ones that will work with you, you just stay there. You know, you go into a city now, you have to take $20,000 with you to get them to work with you. And fix them a place to stay and you a place to stay too. But anyway, I know you think that's comical, but I just heard the other day about a certain fellow that belongs to a certain group. As a matter of fact, belongs to Brother Branham's group, and he's real close. And they say that when he comes into town, he really gets upset if they don't give him the best hotel that they can get. One of these real fine hotels. And I don't blame him for wanting that. You know, you can enjoy that. But I understand that that's some of his principles that you have to do that or he gets upset. But nevertheless, you go into a place here and people share with you. Sister Betty and I have done this many times. take and share what little they had, and they shared with us like the widow did Elijah, and God blessed them. But he said, while you're in the city, he said, heal the sick. See, which means, like I said this morning, the minister not only has power as unto destruction as to take away your life, but he also has power to preserve your life. By doing these things, you can extend your life. If you do the things he tells you to do, he can pray the prayer of faith, and you can be healed. God will heal you. God will save you. God will take care of you. He's done this for me many times. He's done this for my children many times. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe that. Well, that's the reason you haven't got healed. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm talking to believers. And so then it says, and heal the sick. It didn't say, now you go into that city and you plead with God to see if them folks are worthy. Or you go there and you beg God to heal them folks. It didn't say that at all. It didn't have nothing to do with that at all. It said, go in and heal the sick. That's what he said. And he said, and preach that the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe you can do it. But I'm talking to believers. I told you that a while ago. So I'm not talking to you. I'm only speaking to you. Inasmuch as Jesus said, I do this to the least, I do it to all, or I say it to one, I say it to all. I'm saying it to you because the judgment of God is coming on you because of your unbelief. Because Jesus said, when you're in unbelief, the wrath of God abideth upon you. So then the wrath of God will abide upon you. But for them that do believe, we have been privileged to pray the prayer of faith for many, many hundreds of people as we've traveled down through the years, and we have seen God heal and God save, and we've seen some real severe cases that where people was dying and God pulled them through. And some of you, if you'd ever been sick, you would probably believe the better, because some of you are like a fattening hog. All you ever do is eat and lounge around. I say that for the sake of one that was in contrary to me in his spirit. He eats like a hog and he just lays around. You don't do nothing. And he comes here so full of resentment and so full of self that when I say something, his intellectual mind tries to cut down everything I say. So now he knows where he lives and who he is and what he is. And that'll help him while I talk to the rest of you, those that are sons and daughters of God. Got any sons and daughters of God? Like I said this morning when I said some of you could wiggle on out, I was just trying to explain to you of your origin so that you could understand who you was. A lot of times I get to preaching and I say things and somebody will say, my God, Brother Pike, that's mighty hard talking about people wiggling on out. I wasn't talking about people wiggling on out. I was talking about devils wiggling on out. Let's give the Lord a hand. Jesus said, go tell that fox, and he said, that generation of vipers. Or that is, Jesus could have said, go tell that generation of vipers just to wiggle on out, you know. But I'm just saying that we have people that are so carnally minded that they're so earthly. I've heard people say, well, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. No, that's not right. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you'll be, because this world was created, it emanated from God, the great spiritual mind. And everything that you see that's good came from that great heavenly mind. And no one could be more heavenly minded than God. And he's the greatest as to earth good that I know of. So what it is, you're so carnally minded that you're looking for a way to say something against a heavenly thing, and that's your way out, is to say that you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. But what it is, you're so earthly minded that you're no heavenly good. Let's give the Lord another. All right, so we put the shoes on the other feet. What we need to do is be heavenly minded. It says here, when Jesus sent out the 70, he said, now I'm sending you out. And when I send you out, said the devils are going to be subject to you. He said the devils are going to be subject to you because I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And the Bible says that if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you, that you shall tread on serpents, that ye shall do all these great wonderful things. Someone said, well, I don't believe you can do that, Brother Pike. Well, you've never been around when it happened. You don't really know. See, you're just vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind. You don't know what I could do. See, because you never have been there when it happened. Now, someone would say, well, I just don't believe you can do that. I didn't say I could do that. I wasn't talking about that. I said you. See, it's not a matter of whether you believe I can do it. It's a matter of not as to whether I believe you can do it. He said you would tread on the serpents. You would heal the sick. You would lay hands on the sick. How do you feel about that? Do you believe you could do it? Since you don't believe I could do it, do you believe you could do it? Want to give him another hand? All right, so we got the shoe on the other feet. See what it is, you misinterpret what the preacher is saying. All right, we think we know something when we don't know something as we ought to know. And what we ought to know is that we come to hear, and the Bible said be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, which is your own thoughts and own opinion, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus. All right, so we're talking about the word of God. He said to these 70, he said, I give you power. And this power is to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, have you ever tread on any serpents and scorpions? Someone said, well, have you ever done it? Oh, my, many times, many times. Scorpions, serpents, I've just walked over so many of them, just walked over them, and he never fazed me. Never. Never. And we've laid hands on the sick, and the sick has recovered. And we have all power over the enemy. He never can hurt us. He never has hurt us. He never will hurt us. Somebody said, well, you're just a boasting. No, I'm a believer. That's what the Bible says, and I'm just telling you. See what the Bible says, and I believe the word. And the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And if you believe my prophets, and he said, you'll prosper. I said, well, you ain't a prophet, Brother Pike. Well, I'm a pastor. Let's give the Lord another. So he just said, if you believe the pastor, the Lord will bless you. All right, so then we see right here that this is tremendous, because he says here, how when they came back, now remember the Bible said in God's word, and shall not return unto him void, it shall accomplish that he pleased, prosper in that word to his senate. And the Bible said that after he had made this statement, when the 70 came back, they were having a jubilee. I mean, they were rejoicing. You know, and I can just picture them in my mind. One of them was saying, Jesus, Jesus, glory to God, I cast them devils out. You know, and they couldn't do nothing with me, Jesus. And somebody over here was probably hollering, I did too. They couldn't hurt me. And Jesus said, now, wait a minute. He said, just wait a minute. And you know, as a man, like I'm a man, he didn't use the term to wait a minute. He might use the term to wait a minute. It just ain't recorded yet. But anyway, he was just saying, it's just wait a minute. Now, he said, don't get all excited about devils being subject to you. I told you that they'd be subject to you. Now, don't let this be your rejoicing. Don't go around rejoicing because the devils are subject to you. I told you they'd be subject to you. He said, but the thing that you need to rejoice over is the fact that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, so he told someone, so, well, now he told them 70 right there, Brother Pike, that their names was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life because they cast out them devils. But you know, I think we all can learn a lesson right here, because he said, don't go to rejoicing because them devils are subject to you. But he could have said, you better find out if your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He could have said it like that. Couldn't he have said it like that? Someone said, well, that ain't the way it's wrote. Well, it is wrote, though, that later the whole 70 left him. Isn't that right? The whole 70 went off and left him after casting out devils. And after the devils being subject to them in his name. And he turned to the 12 and he said, will ye also go away? And they said, well, where shall we go to? You alone have the words of eternal life. We don't know where to go. You understand what I'm saying? So, as I said this morning, we need to know who we are. We need to know where we stand. Somebody said, well, bless God, I just don't believe the church can do that. I don't believe you can do that, preacher. Well, these 70 did that and then went on their way after they done that and forsook the Lord. Surely to the great God of heaven, sons and daughters have power over the devil. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I don't see how they could have power over the devil right there. If they wasn't servants of Christ, but they were servants of God. They were doing God a service. Isn't that right? The Bible said Nebuchadnezzar was the servant of God down in Babylon. And it says here, I will pour out my spirit, see, on my servants and on my handmaids. And it said here that they did God a service. How then did they cast out devils? How did they do that? Because Jesus said, I'll give you power to do that. I'll give you power to do that. See, he's the one that can do what he wants to whenever he gets ready. Isn't that right? There's blood on the seat of atonement today, and the word is saying today, if thou canst believe, you come in here, and if you can believe, if you can get in the right atmosphere, that rain is coming down on the tower, and you'll go away with your healing. Believe it or not. Someone said, well, I don't see that. Well, didn't Jesus say to the woman, you know, I've forgiven your sins. Go thy way and sin no more, lest the worst of thing come upon you. When he healed the woman, didn't he say, now I've healed you, but you can go away and you can get in trouble again. Didn't he say that? Somebody would say, well, if she was a Christian, I don't see how she could get in trouble again, Brother Pye. Well, I'm telling you again that woman didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, you can't judge someone else's servant. You don't know whether she did or not. I did, because the Bible said the Holy Ghost was not yet given. It couldn't be given until Jesus died for remission of sin. And so the Comforter could not come until he went away. He made that statement. I cannot send you the Comforter until I go away. He cannot come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. So then, inasmuch as he was talking to that woman, then that means she could not have had the Comforter, only in the sense that the Comforter was with her, and there he was talking with her. I like the woman at the well. You know, when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, she said, well, I know that Messiah cometh. He'll tell us all things. He said, I that speak unto thee, said, I'm he. And with this, she marveled. So here we are tonight. And now a greater than Solomon is here. Why did we come to Little Bethlehem tonight? Or why are we in church tonight? Someone said, well, I don't know, Brother Pike. This is routine with us. And I come here, it's the same old thing, you know, same old preacher, same old congregation. But how do you know that Jesus came tonight? And the Holy Ghost came tonight? And the angels came tonight? Can you prove that by the Bible? Two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That proves he's here, isn't that right? All right, the Bible said, in the angels of the Lord encamp round about them that love him and fear him. They're here tonight. Isn't that right? Let's give the Lord another hand. Every time we hit a home run for God, as we say, we tell the truth, we prove the scriptures, we need to praise the Lord. That's why we came into his courts, to give praise unto the Lord, to give thanks unto the Lord. So then we know that he is here. We know that the angels are here. And we know that a greater than Solomon is here, because the Bible says a greater than Solomon is here. Who's greater than Solomon? The Holy Ghost, and he's here. All right, so we're here to have a good time in the Lord. My, Little Bethlehem is a great outstanding place. All the world needs to hurry over. They need to come on over here, because we got a greater than Solomon here. See, we got great things going on at Little Bethlehem. A lot of people say, well, I don't see nothing too great. Well, if you look now and listen real good, you'll find out about this greatness and about all these people that you think are so fanatical. You'll find out why they're making such a fuss. You love the Lord. Ain't it wonderful? Look at all the things we're finding out. All right, so then getting on with our thought here and our subject, we find out that God said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we have a job to do. We need to go into all the world, and we need to preach the gospel to every creature. And then I said this morning, the Bible says that pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, and that is to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. Then he said, and we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Here the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. This is why that the Lord said to Martha, Martha, Martha. You know, you're carried away with natural things, Martha. I'm sure Jesus would like to have had something to eat. And no doubt he ate there at Martha's and Mary's a number of times. That is, he loved them so much that he even wept when their brother died. And he raised him from the dead because he loved him so much. Even the Jews said, look how he loved Lazarus. See, but the thing is, this was a special time. You know, God isn't condoning lethargy, and he isn't condoning laziness. He isn't encouraging people to be irresponsible. See, he's not telling Mary that she should be lazy and let her sister do all the work. That isn't what he's saying at all. He is simply saying to Martha, he's saying, Martha, you don't recognize the time of your visitation. You don't know who I am. You don't know who's in your house. If you understood who was in your house, I'm the Messiah, he could have said. I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. And she didn't learn this until her brother died. And Jesus let him know that he was the resurrection when he raised Lazarus from the dead. See, but he was simply saying this is a special time. There's a time for all things. But Martha, right now, God, in his fullness, I'm sitting in your little old house here. And if there ever was a time you need to forget everything that you ever knew, it's now, and sit right here and listen to my every thought. That's what he was saying. See, this special time. This is a special time. He said, you're concerned about a lot of natural things, Martha. He said, but Mary has chosen the better part. Even the eternal life, he could have said, or that which is spiritual, it'll not be taken away from her. And so then this again makes us to know that God can be in your midst and you can be blind. As it was with Martha, she didn't understand. See, and God can be here at Bethlehem and you might not understand it. There is a time to leave off with your work. Like it was said when Paul said, I'm coming your way. We're going to have revival. I'll be coming over to your part of the country. And he said, now, if you got crops together, I know that you've got to plow fields and you've got to gather in your grain. He said, you go ahead and do this before I come, so there'll be no gathering when I come. He said, you gather in everything that you got, because when I come over there, we're going to have revival. I don't know whether they had a week or whether they had a year's revival, you know. Back then, they had enough power of God that it could last for a whole year and wouldn't faze them. Now we have a 3-day protracted meeting. But anyway, back then he said, you be sure you do all of your gathering, that when I come there, that you don't be out in the fields and you don't send me excuse you had to work late or whatever. He says, because when I come, he said, we're going to get together for God and we're going to do something for God. And he said another thing. He said, let me tell you, before I come over, he said, you need to gather in something for the poor. You need to get something together. Somebody said, well, what right did Paul have to boss them people around? Well, he said, I'm the overseer of the church. He said, God made me the overseer of the Gentile church. The God of heaven said to me, taking the oversight over the flock of God, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church that God or the Lord has purchased with his own blood. So then we see that we've got a job to go into all the world, and there's a time that we should work. There's a time that we should serve. I'm sure there's a time when Mary washed the dishes. I'm sure there's a time when Mary made the beds. I'm sure that there's a time when she dusted the floors and she'd done all those things in her little house that some of you saw when you were over there. You went to the place where Jesus visited with them. See, and here, I'm sure that she'd done all those things. I'm sure she was a tidy housekeeper. But the thing is, this was a special time, folks. A lot of times we have camp meeting here, and you lay something aside, and sometimes you might neglect something, and sometimes you may not need to dig in your flower bed, and you might not need to put on special attraction for vistas and whatever, because it is time to pray, it is time to fast. Even as to the union of man and wife, as to the multiplying and replenishing the earth, the Bible said that you should abstain from this at times to give yourself to fasting and prayer. And then after that, come together, lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. That is to say, let every man have his own companion to avoid fornication. But there is a time and a season for everything. And everything must be in harmony with God. There is a time for you to do all these things that are given to you as privileges in life, as those things which are, they are an ordination in life that you should do. And then there's a time when you should lay all these things aside and go after God. And there are many cases where people down through the years, having made themselves eunuchs or having withdrawn from the world, even as Elijah and others that just lived in a cave, that was the only home they knew. You know, there's people of today, they say, well, I want to be like Elijah, Brother Pike. And I want to be like Moses. And I want to be like these great men. And that's why I don't care to work on a job. It just takes up my time. But they do want to eat ice cream and hamburger. Drink milkshake. They do want a nice home to dwell in, even if they have to rent one. They do want a nice car to ride in, and they want money to spend whenever they get ready. Isn't that right? They want to do all these things. They want to be like Elijah, and they just want to close up the heavens and say, God, send fire down and devour these that's detestable to me. You know, and do away with these. But they don't want to live in a cave. You know, I have no objection to you being like Elijah and having all these things. Are you, if you're willing to live like Elijah? But when you go out here and you make debts and you buy things on credit and you have to have the fine home and the telephone and everything else that you have, all the fine refiners of life that you have to have and the clothing that you have to have, when you have to have all of these things, you know, then I disagree with you as to trying to live like Elijah. I think that you need to work on a job and pay your bills because you made obligations and you did that to your fellow man, and God is expecting of you the responsibility of that. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what about yourself? Well, what about myself? I remember when I said, Sister Betty, take the few little pots and pans you got and throw them into the back of a car which have old makeshift tires, and this old car, I don't know how far we will get with it, and I don't know what we're going to do about bread, and I don't know where we're going to live, and I don't know what we're going to have, and I don't have nobody to look to. But God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I sat in my little Dell over in the back seat. She was a little thing, you know, and I got the others and off we went. Now he said, well, what did you do? I lived by faith. Amen. Somebody said, oh no, you had to buy a car. Oh no, God gave me a car. Somebody said, well, you had to buy something on credit. No, I didn't buy nothing on credit. As a rule, I didn't make no bills. I didn't buy nothing on credit. I didn't go around leaving a string of bills behind everywhere we went buying on credit. Oh, somebody says, you're lying. I'm telling the truth, so help me God. You know why? Because I felt like he wanted me to live like Elijah. Somebody said, you mean live in a cave? No, we lived in a car for about 5 days at a time sometimes. You love the Lord? Sometimes Sister Dale had to sleep in the, it wasn't a rumble seat. It'd been nice if it had a rumble seat in the trunk when you just lift up the top and throw whatever you can, whatever you got in there, you know. Sometimes it's just an old piece of coats or whatever. But there's one thing that I can truthfully say, God took care of me. God provided for me. God has given me hundreds of thousands of dollars. God has blessed me. And at the time that God told me to invest, at the time that God told me to do a certain thing, I did it. And I took on responsibility. And like I told a man one time, I said, sir, if God will help me, I'll never cheat you. I said, I'll never take away from you. I'll never mistreat you. I said, before I do that, I dig a ditch. And I have dug ditches to keep my word and my promise. See, I worked in the cold. I worked in the mud. I worked in the snow. I've done all them kind of things. Somebody said, well, bless God, I ain't seen it. Well, you ought to got here sooner. You could have helped a whole lot more if you'd have got here sooner. The thing is, you don't need to worry about whether I did or whatever I didn't do. You need to wonder about what is it you're not doing right now because of the whole lot of things that you're not doing. All right. So you seek to justify your wrongs in that you don't want to do anything. You'd like to say, well, bless God, I don't see Brother Pike doing it. But you don't see Brother Pike all the time, do you? Let's give the Lord another. All right. So we're having a good time in the Lord. We're finding out what this is all about. So I went as much as I could into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And God blessed me. And God multiplied my substance. And God gave me the desires of my heart. And God kept his word to me. Everything that heart could wish for, he gave me the desires of my heart. He blessed my darling little children. He took care of them when others was dying from polio and all kinds of diseases. I never lost a one. God took care of every one of them. All of them are grown up and on their own today and having to call on God today. But even now, I call on God and God still helps them. Now, I know that they got to call on God. They got to call on God. I realize that. But God still answers my prayers and helps them. I trust he'll always do that. You know, but they've got to pay if they do wrong because they are accountable. But all down through the years, he took care of me. He gave my children a good understanding. A good understanding. Like David the other day. David was talking to this man and the man said, you know, you can have college credits for this that you just completed as to so many courses. See, and other children have done the very same thing. All of my children are of a good understanding, and God has blessed them, and He's taken care of them in a great, wonderful way. Because I was willing to go into all the world and put Him first and seek the kingdom of God first. And I've been willing to pray for my children and pray for my grandchildren and pray for my brothers and pray for my sisters. Not only my natural brothers and sisters, but my spiritual brothers and sisters. To pray for my spiritual children. I've been willing to do that. I'm still willing to do that. I love to do that. And because of that, God has blessed all of them and helped all of them. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I think they'd been all right if you hadn't prayed. There is a possibility that they could have, but there's a possibility they might not have. I know a lot of them that are dead that are young boys and girls. They died. We've had them right here that's died, that's went on to meet God, that wouldn't listen to the word of God, that wouldn't honor what I said. Boys and girls, young boys and girls, numbers of them have gone on to meet God. See, and I've met this in my ministry wherever I went. Because I prayed for others, they're still here. So, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm glad that I do believe that. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do believe that. Not only do I believe that, but there's a number of people believe that because they come for with a regularity to get me to pray for their little children, to patch them up or to pray for them, and they desire my prayers and my concern. So then I pray for them because they're my children. I love them. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? These that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, this is bone of my bone, and this is flesh of my flesh, and this is the God family. I'll spend a number of years with my children. I have spent a number of years with my children. I spent numbers of years with my daddy, with my mother. I've spent numbers of years with my friends, and I'll spend numbers of years with my friends. But folks, let me tell you something. Though I spend 70 years with my sons and my daughters, though I spend 70 years with my friends and my neighbors, I expect to spend an eternity with my sons and daughters in Christ, my family in God, my brothers and sisters. I expect to spend eternity with them. And if you compare eternity with 70 years, then you're going to understand why that we forsake our family and why God said, Abraham, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. Come into this land that I shall show thee, and I will make a great nation of thee. And you will understand that to get out of the land of your kindred is not only to leave your relatives, but it is to forsake all of that which is natural, that you don't go down to Egypt for your help, and that you do not lean upon the arm of flesh. So then we find that following God, following in His footsteps, like the vision I told you I had one time when I was seeking the Lord years ago, and I said, Lord, please lead me. Please lead me. I would beg, Lord, please lead me. And it was about the time that the Lord had straightened up a crooked eye for a little boy. And God had been revealing some things to me and talking to me. About the time, about the same time that He revealed that to me that morning that I was sitting in service, when the preacher turned and said, do you want to say something? I perceive you got something to say, Brother Pike. I said, I sure have. I said, I'm seeing something right now. And they're putting a little boy in braces. And I went on to tell about it and what a stir it caused, because they were doing that very thing then. See, and it was about that time, and I looked and I saw this vision, and I saw the Lord Jesus as where He had walked, and He was making steps, and they were real deep down in the sand. And I saw as His foot would come out and leave a deep track, and I saw my little feet go into His tracks. He would take His up, and I would put mine down, and I was following Jesus, following Jesus. So, see, this is what He wants us to do. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to give up everything so that He can give to us. Not to lean on the arm of flesh, not to place our faith out there as to our skill and our ability, but to dedicate our lives to God and to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. I still remember the time I challenged Brother Jimmy Kirk. When Jimmy came here, I challenged Jimmy. Jimmy was without a job. I said, Jimmy, I'm going to build a church here by faith. I said, if you would come over and help me, I challenge you to do it. I said, you'll never have to leave from here, and God will give you work. I said, just stay right here. He come right out, and God right away gave him work. And everything was well with Jimmy. And I challenged Jimmy until Jimmy became like a young prince. He had everything that heart could wish for. He was making so much money and doing anything he wanted to. Jimmy was one of the most independent men that I knew of. See, I did that, and God blessed Jimmy, and he hath given so much to help establish this thing here as to the kingdom of God. I challenged Brother Jerry Lambert to do the same thing, and Brother Floyd Owens to do the same thing. And Floyd will tell you that before that, he could not even keep an automobile. Every time that he and Jacqueline would buy an automobile, they would even lose their automobile. And one day he came to me, and he said, "Would you please pray that I could keep at least one car?" And he said, "I've got a pretty nice car, and you pray that I can keep it." And he was having problems as to his finance. I said, "I sure will." So I prayed that he could keep it, and he kept it because they lost the papers and everything on it and forgot about him ever owning it. So he had his car. Let's give the Lord a hand. Proving the Lord, wanting to prove that he could take care of the situation. And from that time, he not only has had a good car, but they have furnished even as a Lincoln for Betty and I to ride around in. God has been so good to us. He's blessed us. And in every case, he's made everything work right on time to where he could do something for us, either good or better. See, God is always doing something for you, good or better. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to the purpose. I've challenged a number of men in my lifetime, not only here, but in other places. I remember one that had to borrow money from his relative through the winter just to survive, just to have food. And he brought a paper to me of a great thing he was trying to get together. And he asked me if I'd pray over it. I prayed over it, and God worked it out and put it into his hand and made him exceedingly rich. But you know, folks always forget God. I don't care how much God raises them up. I don't care how much God gives them. They always forget God. Just like it was said of those that went into Canaan. He said, "Now you beware, lest when you get into Canaan, after that I give you your heart's desire, you're fed to the full," or all of these things. He said, "Beware, lest you forget God." And sure enough, that's what they do. Everyone that does that, you know, sooner or later they get careless and they forget God. And when they do, they go down, down, down. They have problems. Because what happens is that the Bible said the rich answereth haughty. And God will raise up one and he puts down another. He'll raise up one, and when he raises that individual up, then he'll give them blessings, he'll give them health, he'll give them everything that they could wish for, and then all of a sudden they get haughty and they get independent as to say, "Who is God? You know, I'm handling this thing. God's blessing me. I got the know-how," and after a while, down, down, down they go. That old spirit of Lucifer lifting himself up. But you know, not only has God given me the power in my lifetime as to a word, a prophecy, to those that would profit by listening to the word or prosper according to what we said. But he sent me to rich men, exceedingly wealthy men. And he has said, "Give them a word." And I've given them a word and I've seen them laugh. But I said, "It won't be funny because what I said will come to pass exactly. And when it comes to pass, you'll see that you had a visitation from God." And I've seen them fall flat on their face. I've seen them come down to where they would have to go to work. I've seen this to where they'd have to go to work for one of their employees that was following our ministry. Let's give the Lord a hand. I've seen that happen. I've seen them. I'm not talking about a man with $10,000. I'm talking about a man lined up with tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And God's brought them down on their face just like that. I went to one time. I related this to you before when I told him. I said, "The Lord sent me to you to say thus and thus." And he reared back because he said he was a preacher and he was a big businessman. He said, "How do I know but what God sent me to you?" I said, "You want to know how you'll know?" I said, "When I say what I've said, when you see it come to pass," I said, "then you'll know that God sent me to you." And God took him down on his face. And he went down, down, till he was flat on his face. He lost his business, lost everything, and moved out of one part of Texas over to another part of Texas. And years later, God sent me to that same part of Texas over to his house. And I said, "I got a word for you." And he was really ready to listen. He said, "What is that word?" I said, "The Lord let me know he's going to raise you back up." Come on, folks. He raised him back up. I had, just like Brother Cantrell that came here when he went bankrupted, I spoke of the man going down because the Lord had showed me that he was going to go down, and he went down to the bottom, and he come to me and said, I'm in a box canyon, gone bankrupted, can't do anything. I said, that's bad. But I had told the brethren that would happen because I saw it coming. And then came the time when the Lord spoke to me and said he would raise him up. I told him, I said, the Lord is fixing to raise you up and put you back in business. He said, there ain't no way. No way. His name was gone, everything gone. I said, brother, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with that. I said, he said he'd raise you up. You'll be raised back up today. As far as I know now, unless something has happened in the last few months, he is wealthy. I think he was fixing to turn over, what was it? I don't know whether it was, I can't remember. It was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars or something. Maybe a half a million or $1 million in the last little bit that I got the word of. See, and not only him, but numbers. I mean, numbers of us. I could write a book just on the people that God has given me a word for as to raise them up or to put them down. See, and I remember when Brother Hollis came here, and I told Brother Hollis, he didn't have nothing but an old bus. I said, Brother Hollis, I said, the Lord showed me that you're going to handle big money and you're going to have big equipment. And God raised him up from nothing and gave him big equipment and gave him big money. Brother Hollis has handled some big, big money. And some of the others, see, but the thing is, folks, the secret is not getting a word from God as to raise you up. The secret is walking in the ways of God after that God raised you up, as to continue on with God to have the blessings of God. See, and when you do this, then God will bless you. The Bible said to confess your sins and forsake your sins, and whatever you do shall prosper. So then the many, many people that we've been sent to, God has blessed them. People that have contributed to this ministry that started without anything, and they came and contributed freely, and they came because they really wanted to do that. Today, many of them have been blessed exceedingly. They have blessings that they never had in their whole life. See, some have come up as we bless them in the name of the Lord, and some have gone down. You'd say, well, why did they come up and go down, Brother Pipe? Because they didn't walk straight. They didn't continue to do the thing that God told them to do. See, I blessed them. You say, well, you can't do that. The Bible said, whosoever I bless shall be blessed, and whosoever I curse shall be cursed. So then we do have the blessings and we do have the curse. And Paul said, as to your destruction or as to your benefit, as to life, not only to bless you, but to remit your sins even as unto eternal life. For the gospel is profitable for this life and for the world to come. So then we want to bless you. We don't want to curse you. We want to bless you. You that are God's children, we come here to preach to you the word of God, which is the word of blessing, that we might tell you these wonderful words of life. Somebody was telling me today about the man that wrote the wonderful words of life, said that he was killed while across some kind of train wreck, I believe. Though he escaped being a young man, he went back after his wife, his young wife, and never returned. Something happened to him. And I was told that he wrote songs like Hold the Fort and these other kind of things. But speaking of this one song he wrote, wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me, those wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, those wonderful words of life. Words of love and duty, these are words of beauty. Wonderful words of life. So then we see that we've got a great charge. God has given you the power to go and tell people this wonderful word of blessing, to pray a blessing down on them or to bring a curse on them. Go into the city, he said to these disciples. He said, the spirits are going to be subject to you. The devils are going to be subject to you. He said, go into these cities. And he said, when you go into these cities, preach the gospel. And he said, heal the sick, and they that receive you, bless them, and bring this blessing upon them. He said, and if they will not hear you, he said, then depart from their city. Notwithstanding, he said, when you go to leave that city, he said, shake the dust from off of your shoes. Now somebody would say, well, have you ever done that? I certainly have. Said, shake the dust off of your feet as a witness and a testimony against them, and it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city in the day of judgment. Some of you that are sitting here, you've walked along the shore of Galilee and you've looked at Tyre and you've looked at Sodom and you looked at Capernaum. If some of you remember when we went down to the place there into where this old cathedral had been torn down, we were there in that place. It was there that you could see all around. And we were out there at the Mount of Beatitudes. You could see all around. And I pointed out some of these places. And I took you to the scripture where Jesus, looking at them right there, he said, "And thou art exalted to heaven." He got upset because they wouldn't pay any attention to him. He was a man. He was doing great things. He was preaching to them. And they just mocked him and went on trying to trap him in his words and do all kinds of things till he got angry and he got upset. And the Bible said he was angry because of the hardness of the heart. And he just looked and he said, "Capernaum, exalted unto heaven." He said, "Thou shalt be brought down to hell." He said, "If the mighty works that have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah that's been done in you, it would have remained until today. Therefore, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day when I judge this situation than it will be for you." So then, folks, what can be said about America? If that is true over there and the many years that we've had of the gospel here and the wonderful things that God has done throughout the lifetime of people in America, all of these great, mighty things, even to the extent of what we spoke of the other day when we spoke about this boy that even has a socket where he takes the eye out and still sees the people, and medical science cannot explain it. All the many miracles that's taken place of different things and healings down through the years here in America, how tolerable will it be as for America? Or will it be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah? It'll be much more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. It'll be much more tolerable. Them people did not know much. And the Bible said, "To whom much is given, much is required. And to him that knew to do, his Lord's willing did it not, shall be beaten with many stripes." And the Bible said, "To whom I have given much, I will require the more." So then many of you even here at Bethlehem that are listening to me right now, many of you have been given much, but folks, you're doing little. You're not really doing anything for God. You're kind of majoring on minors. You're not really doing anything for God like you need to do. You're not getting down to business with God. I preach to you over and over. You're just kind of playing around with God, eating and drinking and trying to do a little thing here or there. You know, and not really getting in with the Lord. Someone say, "Well, Brother Pike, can you give me a proof of that?" Well, I can by the Bible, but just the other night, I had a vision where every last one of you walked off when I needed you. Somebody said, "How many of them?" "All of them." I looked at some of them and I thought, "Well, these won't go." I saw the others go. And some of my main men here were the leaders. And I said, "Well, these won't go." I looked at them in the vision. I thought, "These won't go." But lo and behold, every last one of them went. Someone would say, "Well, I can't see that." Well, the Bible said they all have turned to their own way. So that sounds like you did too. All have turned to their own way. Everyone hath left the house of God lay waste. And I know for months you've let it lay waste as to some of you making any efforts. And some of them that are doing things right now, that is of this week, really helped. They made a confession. Even today I heard someone say, "Brother Pike, I know that I'm one of them that walked off and left the thing with the load. I know that." But that their person this week, they're responsible majorly for quite a lot of money coming in. You know, this week we have problems this week, just like we always do, as to what you would consider problem, as to having to meet a financial budget. And yet we meet it by faith. And as it was this week, I had no way to meet it. I had not anything to meet it. And yet it was thousands of dollars. But we met it by the wonderful blessings of God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Oh, so again we boast in God. And so again we say, the Lord meets all of the needs. Not only the needs, but giving us the desires of our heart. Because we delight ourselves in Him. And He makes us to ride upon the high places of the earth. Always, always, always. The Lord does it. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you like to live that kind of life to where God's always taking care of you, always looking after you? Like I told Sister Betty today, I was talking about the Lord meeting the need. I said, Betty, I said, looks like anybody would have enough sense to know that it is the act of God of meeting the needs. I said, we don't have any place to get it. I said, and day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. I said, 10 years goes by and God meets the needs. So 20 years goes by and God meets the needs. Isn't God wonderful? Somebody says, well, he might not do it tomorrow. No, I've been serving him a long time. You don't have to worry about that. Quit worrying yourself about that. Don't worry yourself down about that. He'll take care of it. It'll be all right. You love the Lord? Amen. All right. Let's stand together. The songwriter said everything's going to be all right. I hear the Lord say, and where your trouble is, too many of you want to steady the ark. You know, you want to question the preacher. You want to say, well, I don't know about that. You know, and I don't know where this thing's going to go or not. I better put my hands on it. I better get my ruling here. I better do something here. You know, and that's what caused those thousands of people to be slain. People are putting their hands on the Ark of the Covenant as to the religious affairs of God. And Babylon is messing around with the Ark. And God is slaying thousands. And Jordan is overrunning all of its banks. And many of you are messing with the ark and you feel like it can't go without you. And you've just got to put your hand on it. And you've just got to have your mind in it. And that's where you'll get in trouble. It'll make it, folks. This great caravan keeps on rolling along. This old ship of Zion has never sank. It never will. It never will. I remember when Brother Mike Bradley came here one day. We was talking how many years ago, Mike? How many? I said, Mike, this old ship of Zion won't sink. She'll keep on going. She's still going, isn't she, Mike? She'll keep on going. Let him come, let him go, but she'll keep on going. They used to have a ship, I'm sure that you're familiar with it in your reader back in the days of your youth. They called it Ironside. You know, it had old wooden ships back there, but that ship had been in many a battle. And it said that on one occasion when they were having a battle, things was going rough, and they hollered out and said, hey, said, you better surrender, because they'd already fought till they were just weary. Said they hollered back and said, well, we've not even begun to fight yet. Let's give the Lord a hand. Did you know? The saints of God has not even yet begun to fight. They're getting ready to rise and take the kingdom. I'll guarantee it. I'll give you a guarantee. It'll be that way. All right, let's sing song together. I sang this little chorus. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to glory by. Sing that again. Let us hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus signals still. We'll wait the answer back to glory by the grace we will. At the cross, at the cross, the altars are open. If you'd love to come and rededicate your life, the altars are open. We're getting ready to do some evangelism. Unless the Lord stops us and sees different, we'll be going out in crusades. We'll be doing some things maybe over in India or Mexico, out under the tent. Auditoriums, wherever it takes us, we'll be doing something for God. And I made a statement today while we were discussing this. I said, you know, I've got many young boys and girls, not only here in Bethlehem, but different places that love this word. And I said, they're on fire for God. I said, it's not just the zeal. I can tell that they've gotten something in their heart. I said, I believe that we can have a great camp meeting this year. Had a great camp meeting last year. And I said, I believe that we can have a great camp meeting this year. We can do some great things for God, not only in camp meeting, but in world evangelism, frontier evangelism. I talked to Joseph again today. He's not here, I don't guess. I was going to get him to testify tonight, but I don't see him here. Be nice, you know, to hem him up. But he's on fire to do something for God. He really wants to do something for God. And this is the way it should be, folks. To give ourselves wholly unto the Lord Jesus. This is what he wants us to do. Can you sing it? There by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still for you. Sing it again now. Oh, there's room at the cross. The cross for you. Room for one, there is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. The wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I say evermore. Where will you be amid? This question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth.
find it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this joy to decide our destiny in a million years. I thank you for the valley I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray and to find you with the lily there blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And thank you for the valley I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. And I thank you for the valley. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I pray till I knew that everything's alright. And I thank you for the valley.
Can you lift your hands and close your eyes with me? Let's sing this little chorus we sang so much, Sister Dale. Time will be no more. And time shall be no more. No more. And time shall
For time shall be no more. No more. Angel, he'll stand
on the
sea and over land, and I
shall
be no more. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Or be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting by this night, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in fatherless white, and I'm ready for my bridegroom. Sing it with me now. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom. I'm all resting by the time, and I'm ready for the bride.
One more time.
Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, night, I'm all resting by the time, and I'm ready.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, he touched me, yes, Jesus,
and
Lord, Lord, it floods my soul, something
with me, will you?
Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and now, oh no, he touched me, and he made me whole. And being somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere royal prince in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come, then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. And I will praise him. And I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give. Go to ask Brother Pasden to come up and dismiss us if he will. All his blood is washed away the stain. Sing it again as our brother comes.